Hello, everybody, and welcome back. Today is a podcast on workplace toxicity. Is that even a word? Who knows? But it's something that since getting back into doing another UX contract, it's something that I spot quite a lot. I move around to different projects, different workplaces, and every single environment that I work in is completely different. And it is hard, you know, if you're a permanent member of staff, consider this, you know, you've got, you know, one set of people to try and master, in a sense, get to really understand them. Becomes difficult, though, when you're constantly getting new members of staff, or you might decide to switch jobs, switch up your career, or you might be like me, you might be a freelancer or a contractor, constantly meeting new people. And let me tell you now, people are the most difficult thing to manage, because everybody is different. Everybody's got different personalities. They've got things that really trigger them. They've got things that make them tick. And we've got to understand them. Now, as UX designers, we're very user-focused on the product, for the product. But what we need to do in the workplace is also become very relationship-focused too, and understand the people that we're working with. Because if we don't understand the people we're working with, just like if we don't understand our users, then how can we build rapport with them? How can we empathize with them? And that's one of the most crucial things when you work in user experience design. And I always find it quite funny, because whenever I go into a workplace, one thing I really like to do is do personality tests. Anything that we can do to understand one another is really going to help the, you know, us collaborate better on the actual product. However, the look I get when I tell people that this is what I want to do is like a look of, oh my God, is she serious? And yes, I'm like, I'm completely serious. I don't know why understanding each other is met with more resistance to understanding the user. Because the advantages of understanding the people that we work with, and most importantly, understanding yourself, I think is the key to optimum success. You will know how you work best. You will understand fully how to get the most out of yourself in terms of productivity. Like, what times do you work best? For me, I'm an early bird. My second child wakes up for a feed at 4 o'clock in the morning. I go to bed at 9 o'clock. I've normally had 6-7 hours sleep. So for me, I like to get up and get a few hours in. I'm not disturbed. And then I can really get into some deep focus time. And I'm probably the worst around 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon. Come 4 or 5, I'm like an absolute zombie. And that's because I have reactive hyperglycemia. So usually people's blood sugar drops around 2-3. That's why we get the dip after lunchtime. And it's just the way our body clock works. However, with myself, I suffer with low blood sugar. It's something I have to manage hour by hour throughout my day, and something that I've done for the past 7-8 years now. So because of that, I have even more of a dip in the afternoon sometimes, and sometimes, depending on what I've eaten, that can really negatively impact my well-being. So what I'm trying to say is, we all know better than anybody how we work, what is best for us. Do we like people to be messaging us all the time? You know, are we somebody who likes a little bit more space? Are we someone who thrives in collaborative sessions and workshops? Getting to understand yourself is going to be the key here. So my first tip, if you really want to find well-being in the workplace, is to get to know yourself, understand how you like to work. So how I do this is, I know for me, it's really not good for my own well-being or actually any other body's well-being if we're in meeting for 1 to 2 hours. So if somebody goes to put a 2-hour meeting in my diary, I start as a mean to go on. That is crucial to this, because if you don't, then you're just going to dig yourself a deeper hole. So straight away, I'll say, hey, how about we do, can we make the meeting shorter? I'm better working in short bursts to maximize my productivity. You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with telling somebody how you work best. If they push back, absolutely fine, because then you know, okay, these are the parameters that they're prepared to work in. These are my parameters. How are we going to work through that? And then that's an opportunity then for a conversation. But most of the time, how many of you have been sat in a meeting or been going, I'm completely switched off now, or I really need the toilet, I really need a drink, I really need to take a break, but haven't spoken up? And you've let that impact you. So what we need to do is, sometimes people don't realize that they're, what's the word, almost disabling us in our job rather than enabling us to do our job. You know, there's been loads of research done and science around productivity, you know, the Pomodoro technique, taking regular breaks, how long it takes for us to get back into something once we've already started. So start as we mean to go on is my first tip. Setting boundaries is my second tip. So for example, if you have somebody that is constantly messaging you, constantly just saying, hey, can we have a meeting? Or ringing you out of the blue. I've had this before, you know, you'll be focusing on something, and because we're now all in a digital world, it's like, hey, can I just ask you something? Hey, what about this? Hey. And imagine you were in the office and somebody kept walking up to your desk every 5 minutes. Now, I don't think that would happen as such. You know, you might have the rare case, but I don't think that would happen, because people are a lot more conscious. But somehow when we're in a digital world, people feel like it's okay to bombard you. So you can set boundaries. You can say to them, well, first of all, I would go back to the start as we mean to go on. Don't ever reply straight away, because as soon as you reply straight away, that person then has expectations. So what I would do is allow yourself some time. Give yourself an hour or two, go back into what you're doing, then go back to them and say, apologies, I didn't come back to you straight away. I like to have some focus time throughout the day. If I don't reply to you, I promise I'll come back to you within just a few hours, or set your own parameters there. So you're being nice, you're being friendly, but you're also being assertive as well and telling that person how it works best for you. So in the future, they are aware. Not speaking up for yourself, so this is the third thing, I've actually found can be detrimental. I don't know if this comes with age or I don't know. I don't really know how it's evolved, but I'm sort of person who, I hate confrontation. I'll be really honest with you. I'm more of a people pleaser. I find it really hard to tell people exactly how I think and what I feel, because I just don't want that confrontation. Now, straight away, I'm really good, really intuitive at knowing who's going to be the challenge in the group. So the other week, I was on a Zoom call. I'd never met the product owner before, and my first week at this company was great. Really thought that the team were very supportive, had a really good meeting culture as well. You weren't bombarded. I thought, great. Monday morning came, was really motivated, excited. Then I met the product owner on the Zoom call, and there was about, you know, 10 people on the Zoom call in total. And her energy just was not great. The vibe I got was that she probably had a lot going on outside of work. That's how I summed it up. And we all do, you know, life happens. And sometimes some people take it into the workplace, and that can be very toxic. Because not necessarily that it's their own fault or anything. They probably don't even realise. It's not even a conscious thing to them. Probably happening on a more subconscious level. But I'm big into understanding energy. Energy is scientific. If you sit in a room with somebody who's really negative for 3 hours, you come away drained. If you sit in a room with someone really positive for 3 hours, you come away probably feeling really pumped up and like you want to take on the world. Energy is massive. And pick up on people's energy, because their energy will tell you a lot. And the energy of this product owner, it just wasn't great. She was talking over people. And I just got a sense of like, oh, I don't know how it's going to be working with this person. Anyway, the days go on. I'm trying to arrange calls and then don't really get anywhere with it. And bearing in mind, I'm a UX designer. I need to work closely with the product owner to understand the direction. I'd get really short answers. I felt like, okay, this product owner doesn't really have time for me. And then we had a call. There was me, her, and one other person. And she was asking me if I changed some things on the design. We hadn't really had any calls up until this point. So I explained to her why I had made the decisions that I had. And when I did this, I was met with someone who was very defensive, someone who didn't have time at all, and even told me they don't have time. The words were, "I don't have time to explain myself to you." She couldn't then get her words out, so she just said it how it was and said, "You just have to do as I say." Well, in that moment, the adrenaline went from my feet to my head, and I was literally in fight or flight mode. And I literally, in that split second, thought, if I continue this conversation now, I'm going to go to a really unprofessional level. She's triggered me, and that's something that I really need to work on and deal with. Because yes, I'm sensitive. I'm a really sensitive person. I take people's words and I mull them over for ages. What does she, you know, I came away thinking, what does she mean? I've got to do as she says. You know, it felt like I was going back to my childhood, my dad. Loads of stuff came up for me. The feeling of not being worthy, not feeling valued, you don't listen to me, I'm being dismissed, you don't care what I've got to say, I'm not important, all those limiting beliefs. Well, she brought them to the surface. I spent a good 2 hours that afternoon crying, and I decided at that point I needed to speak to someone. So I took it to the person who was above her, and I spoke it through. They were very supportive, really understanding, told me it should not happen. And I spoke up. And for once, I felt truly empowered. I felt like, you know what? That's happened, but I've done something about it. Because people like that come in all different workplaces. You're never going to be able to get rid of them, but what you can do is take control. So, two things that I would always do with people who essentially are trying to bully you in the workplace is, one, speak up for yourself. And if you can't do that, tell somebody else. Tell somebody who can do something about it for you. And then the second thing that I would do would be to think about how and why it impacted you the way it did. Because essentially we can't block people out of our existence. It's just not possible. But what we can do is take control of our own emotions so that we don't get triggered. That other person that was in that meeting with me didn't get triggered like I did. Why is that? Why do people not get triggered like we do? Well, essentially because we don't experience the same things. Our pasts are very different. And in that moment, that brought up a lot from my past, and that's why I was triggered the way I was. Still doesn't mean that I should have been spoken to the way I did. But when I spoke up about it, not to her, but to somebody else, I felt so much better, and something got done about it. She got moved off the project. Hooray. Second thing, I also noticed whilst working within this company that I would have those people who would just call me up. And like I say, it's always something we can do ourselves. We can help ourselves, set boundaries. Sometimes we don't want that conflict, but sometimes we need something to be done about it. So speaking up, saying something to somebody else. So I got on the phone with their UX UI lead and I just spoke about it. You know, and don't ever use blame. I never blame anybody else. It's always my responsibility. How can I do better? How can I manage this situation better? I never would use the word you or any blame language because, like I've said before, it's something that I have to take control of. And I asked them, how can I manage this situation better? And we had a really good conversation. After the end of that conversation, I felt empowered. I felt I got it off my chest, said what I needed to do, was so therapeutic. I can move forward, give it a go. If not, what do I have to do again? I have to speak up. So all these tips are going to really help you manage that toxic workplace culture. Now, if it's just one or two people within the workplace, I feel like that can be managed. You don't have to move onto a new contract for every single problem that arises or move workplaces, because is it actually something that can be solved? You might not be able to control them or tell them what to do or get them to change, but you can change your response to it. So I know if I become more resilient, if I am not as affected by certain things, then I would be able to cope better. And that's what I want to help you with. I'm on my journey. I want to help you on yours as well. Deal with workplace toxicity, if that's a word.